So our text for this evening's meditation is from Matthew 14, these words. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Common nowadays, common, when entering a college or graduate school, applying for a position, this position or that, common nowadays is the requirement that a personality inventory is taken. That is a psychological test to determine somehow what kind of personality we might indeed have. I remember taking such tests when entering college and then again at the seminary. And a common refrain by those administering the test was that there was no right answers, no wrong answers, just answers on such tests. For such tests are administered just to give the one taking them a view of themselves, so it's thought. But of course, as it turns out, there were right answers, and there were wrong answers. That is, when evaluated and plotted on a graph, the answers given were supposed to create an ideal curve of some sort. And if the curve from your test did not match that test, concern was expressed. Well, you can think about that what you wish. Somewhat alarming, however, on one of the tests, and I cannot remember which one, alarming were questions about being alone. And even though asked in a variety of ways and in a variety of contexts, it was very clear by the sheer number of questions and the way they were written, was that if I wanted to be alone, liked being alone, enjoyed being alone, and purposely made the effort to be alone, there was something ultimately wrong with me. Or so it seemed. Of course, as you know, I come from a long line of farmers on both sides of my family, people who as a group must be satisfied with being alone. And I was raised in western Nebraska and Colorado, where being alone is really the ideal. I mean, that's why people move to those places, to be alone. Well, our text finds Jesus, the very Son of God, love personified, the ideal person, the icon, the imprint, the righteousness of God, wanting to be alone. Hearing that John the Baptist had been beheaded, Jesus takes a boat. He takes a boat and goes off by himself. And he just doesn't go off by himself. He goes off by himself to a desolate place. Why? We can only guess. Was he saddened? Of course. Devastated by the loss of John the Baptist, perhaps. Angered by the inanity of man and the way by which John was killed, maybe. Speaking of Adam, the first man, it's God who said, it's not good for man to be alone, but here Jesus is seeking to be alone. Jesus! Two different situations, of course. With Adam, it's the creation of mankind. With Jesus, it's living with mankind, dealing with mankind, the cruelty of mankind, death at the hands of mankind. So we understand this reaction of Jesus. For when we've received the news of the death of a loved one, we've wanted the same thing, right? We've wanted to be alone. Why? Why have we wanted to be alone then? Well, to not have anything distract us as we contemplate the life of the one who died, the meaning of that life for us, the future of our life without that person, the gravity of the loss of that person. And as we work through all of these things in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, the last thing we want is someone trying to talk with us, distracting us, taking our attention away from our thoughts. And of course, at such times we pray, don't we? We talk to God. We even feel closer to God as everything around us in our grief has simply fallen away. And realizing the fragility of everything that exists, even ourselves, we once again come to grips with the fact that the closest relationship we have, the person with whom we are the closest in our lives, the one who always knows our thoughts and feelings, our hopes and dreams, our fears and failures, the one who knows every last thing about us and yet remains with us, even within us, is God Himself. Our Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, our loving Heavenly Father. When everything is around us is stripped away, when it is just us, it's never just us. It's always us and God. We're never, ever, ever truly alone. But to come to grips with this fact, so often we must be alone, like Jesus is, like our Savior is in our text. In fact, it's Jesus, it's the work of Jesus that allows us to be alone, to be by ourselves, in union and communion and fellowship with God. For what does our justification before God through faith in the suffering and death and resurrection of Christ for us do but bring us into fellowship with God, into communion with God, into union with God, with God? Why? Because through faith in Christ, that which drives us away from God, our sin, is forgiven. It's covered over, forgotten, allowing us then to freely associate, we could say, even hang out, as the kids say, with God. So the benefits of being alone. The benefits of being alone in Christ, through Christ and by Christ. Of course, there are times when we should not be alone. Those times when we are suffering from guilt, undergoing shame, feeling the pain of sin, a sin we've committed, and all that we want to do in response is run away and hide, be by ourselves so we will not have to face the glaring looks, hear the recriminations, suffer the condemnations that are just and right. No, such a loneliness is an effect of sin. And psychology appears to have used a lot of ink in recent years to figure out how such a loneliness can be overcome in some way. Google loneliness and see all of the popular articles available that discuss this topic, especially as loneliness and guilt and shame are constantly linked together with one another. So the psychological testing, the personality inventories. If a person likes to be alone, they must be lonely. And if they're lonely, they must have some trouble or problem fueling the loneliness. Common human experience is that it's sin. It's sin that causes loneliness so often, because sin alienates us from others. Sin creates guilt within us, which leads us to despair and hopelessness. No, this isn't Dr. Phil. It's common sense. Think of how the topic is treated in popular music. Billy Joel singing about a piano man in a bar full of people sharing a drink called loneliness. Simon and Garfunkel having no need for friendship, for friendship causes pain. The Beatles posing the question, all the lonely people, where do they come from? Yes, I'm dating myself, but I'm not wrong. Just recently in April, a list appeared on the internet of no less than 111 songs about loneliness, popular songs, many from just the past couple of years. And that didn't even include the songs from country western music. So you'll probably double that number. So obviously, being alone, it's a common problem, being lonely, even in a world full of people. Why? Well, we're all infected by this disease called sin, which drives us away from each other in the things that we say and do and think. No, Jesus didn't take a boat and head to a desolate place because of his sin, but most probably because of the sin which he faced every single day in other people. There was a time, however, when Jesus did feel alone, utterly alone, completely abandoned. And that was when he was feeling the weight of sin, of our sin, upon him. That's on the cross. There he even felt, as he suffered from our sin, completely and totally alone. My God, why have you forsaken me? That is, why have you abandoned me and left me here all alone? Yes, there the utter loneliness of Jesus was expressed, the loneliness of bearing our sin. Do we need any other evidence of general cause and effect relationship between sin and loneliness? Well, the remedy, the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin, which when embraced by sin, causes us once again to want to be with others. Or at least releases us from the guilt and shame when we see others, allowing us then to interact with them, to speak with them, to work with them, to serve them, even to love them. And yes, that can become overwhelming at times as the enormity, the effect of sin upon the people with whom we speak can and in and of itself overwhelm us. And at such times, when overwhelmed by the sin of the world, it's completely wonderful and fine and good to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus and go off by ourselves for a while to simply once again take stock of our situation, do some thinking, do some reflecting, and pray, talking to God in his presence. But then what? Well, we need then to do what Jesus did in our text, and that is we re-engage, we dive back in, we wade back in, get back to loving and serving our neighbor, knowing that there will be times when we will be overwhelmed by the world. And what of our own sin, which would cause us to disengage and run away? Well, there we must remember that the answer to our sin is not our self-isolation, but our contrition and our repentance. Daily, whereby once again we can be assured that our sins are indeed forgiven, and that allows us then actually to re-enter society daily, with confidence, even with boldness, and without fear, not so we can be loved by the world or affirmed by the world in some way and no longer risk sin and shame and guilt cause loneliness, but to live a resurrected life. That's a new life, resurrected from social death, that is loneliness, in Jesus Christ, to love and serve those within the world. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.